Welcome back to our podcast series on pitfalls and red flags in estate planning. I am Casey Powell, president of Thompson & Associates, and I'm joined again today by Jason Merriff, who's the executive vice president of charitable estate planning for Thompson & Associates. And today we are talking about adding children to financial accounts and some of the problems that can arise if somebody adds a child as an owner of their financial accounts. And so I want to lay a backdrop of what we're talking about and you know, why we are doing this, you know, really why we're doing this whole series. And we are gearing this towards development officers, and as they are working with their donors, for them to be able to identify some mistakes that their donors may be making in estate planning, where they can actually help them a lot. If, for example, if you hear one of your donors in the context of estate planning say, "Oh, I've got everything taken care of. I've added my child, my son, or my daughter on my financial account, on my bank account, so I really don't need a will. I've got that done. I've got that taken care of," or for whatever reason. Well, that's an opportunity for you to help them. That may not be the best thing. There may be some issues that they're not thinking about, and it could cause problems. So, well, you could suggest that they talk to their attorney, or if you're a Thompson & Associates client, you know, that's a great opportunity for you to get them in front of your associate. So I wanted to lay the backdrop of why we're doing this series and this specific podcast and you know, give that context as you're listening for the next 10 to 15 minutes. So Jason, what are some problems of adding someone to your financial account?
That's a great question. The first thing I want to talk about is, before I jump right into the problems, why do we see parents oftentimes name an adult child on an account? And it's usually one of two reasons. They want to make sure that if the parent wants to make sure that if they become incapacitated and unable to handle and pay their bills, they want to make sure they've got someone on the account to pay the bills. Probably one of the most common things I see is, "I want to make sure my child can pay my bills, so I added them to my account." And then sometimes we'll hear a parent say, "Well, I want my estate to avoid probate, so I'm going to go on ahead and add my kids to the account so that they already own it." And so we're going to, at the end of this call, we're going to sum up these reasons why clients do these things and maybe another solution. But I just kind of wanted to lay the framework or the foundation here as to why someone would do this to begin with. So now, as for some of the problems, during life, during the parent's lifetime, here are some of the things that could happen. Number one, the parent, not really understanding what they've done, the parent has exposed that financial account to their child's liabilities. What I mean by that is, if the child ever got sued in a lawsuit, their child is driving down the street and gets in a car wreck and gets sued for something, the person suing the child is going to go after everything that child owns. Well, guess what? The child now owns mom and dad's accounts because they're an owner of that account. And it's usually when I bring this up, it's where the parent goes, "Oh my gosh, I had no idea. I didn't realize I had just done that." Another thing, the parent has exposed that account potentially to their child's divorcing spouse, meaning if the child got divorced, then the child and their spouse have to divide up everything that they own. Well, the child owns this account, and potentially mom and dad's accounts can get wrapped up into their children's divorce proceedings. So these are potential things that could happen during lifetime, that just by adding the child to the financial account, these things can happen.
Well, what you're saying is that basically the child is an owner. Like they're giving the parents are actually giving some type of control or some type of ownership to the kid. So is there a taxable ramification to that?
Yes, potentially there could be. It is a question we would always need to ask in that situation. Did the parent just want to give the child control of the account, or by adding the child as the owner, did the parent actually make a gift? And, you know, depending on the size of the account and probably a lot of variables, it would not be that far of a stretch for the IRS to say the parent made a gift to the child. And if that happened, then that kind of begs the next question. Well, did the parent file a 709 gift tax return? And maybe, maybe not. More than likely, they didn't, because they didn't really consider it a gift, but the IRS might consider it a gift. There's some income tax concerns here. If the IRS does take the position that the parent made a gift to the child, the child takes the account with the parent's income tax basis in the account, which could be a negative tax consequence to the child down the road. And, you know, and another topic I'll just kind of get into is not just necessarily taxes, but just you always have to wonder, or you always have to consider at least, does the parent have other children? So, for instance, if parent has two children and they name child the first child on the account with them, how is that viewed by the other child or children in the picture? Meaning, just could this one act alone cause resentment and family problems, you know, in the family, because no one child is on the account and the others aren't? And so it really can create problems with the family dynamic sometimes if it's not handled the right way. Those considerations aren't necessarily legal considerations, but are things that should be considered if that is done.
You know, Jason, a lot of times I've seen this where a lot of times the family really doesn't even know. And sometimes the kid doesn't even know that they've been named. You know, a lot of times they are, you know, as you say, a parent would put a child on there to help pay bills or whatever. So that child would know. But a lot of times they don't know. And so, you know, the other kids may not even know that their sibling is listed on this account, and so, you know, maybe some of these issues don't even come up during life, but what happens when the owner, the parent, passes away, and now, you know, what happens? What are some problems that arise at that point?
Right, upon death, it's a whole nother. A lot of other problems potentially could occur. I think the first question we would look at, the first issue we would look at is the account what's called a joint tenant with right of survivorship account? Let me explain that just for a minute. This type of account, sometimes you'll see it titled JTWROS or joint tenant with right of survivorship. If the parent and the child own the account jointly with the survivorship language on it, what that means is if one of those two owners passes away, so let's say parent, if parent passes away, the account is owned by the surviving owner, meaning the child now owns the account. What the interesting part of this is, the account now passed to the child through the survivorship language on the account. The account did not pass through the parent's will, last will and testament, which could be very problematic. For instance, let's say the parent had two children and wanted to divide the account 50-50 between each child. And let's assume that's what the parent's will says is supposed to happen. But the survivorship language on the account trumped what the will said. So now the account passes to child one instead of being divided between child one and child two. And more than likely, and more often than not, that's not what the parent wanted. The parent wanted the child on the account to help pay bills, not to inherit the entire account upon the death of the parent. So the survivorship language usually is inconsistent with what the terms of the will say. That's one of the problems. Another problem is when an account passes through the survivorship language, that we now have lost the opportunity to give the child asset protection through the client's estate plan. We can't give the child divorce protection through the client's estate plan because the account doesn't pass through the estate plan. We also by not having the account pass through the plan, we may have lost opportunities for estate tax planning, for income tax planning. I guess the point here is that maybe, you know, the attorney that prepared the estate plan, may have intended for that account to pass through the estate plan. And if it's not going through the plan, but instead passing through survivorship language, the plan isn't working. And that can be a real problem sometimes.
Yeah, well, and you know, what you're mentioning is, as you said, a joint tenant account with that right of survivorship, but not all accounts are set up that way. You know, some are set up as tenants in common. So what about, you know, those accounts that are what are called tenants in common? What are the issues there?
That's a good question. The tenant in common account, let's kind of describe what that is. When a parent and a child own an account together, it's going to be owned by them in one of two ways. One is the survivorship language that I just spoke about, where if one of the two dies, the account's owned by the surviving tenant. The tenant in common is a little bit different. It's an account owned by parent and child, but there's no survivorship language on the account. So that means that if the parent dies, then a portion of the account is passes through the parent's estate plan, or if the child passes away, a portion of the account is passed through the child's estate plan, and therein lies the problem. So, for example, what if the child dies before the parent? Well, in a tenant in common account, the child's will pick up half of that account, and half the parent's account will be distributed pursuant to the child's last will and testament. And that's probably not at all what the parent would want, because the parent's still living. The parent needs that money to live on, yet half their money is now being taken away from them pursuant to their own child's last will and testament. Probably not the desired result, probably not what the parent realized was going to happen. Another issue that could happen in a tenant in common account: if the child passed away before the parent, not only would their will control it, but that account's going to be frozen by that financial institution until the child's estate plan is probated. And that's just going to happen. So now all of a sudden, parent has their child on the account to pay bills, the child dies before the parent, and now the parent's money is locked down. It's frozen until things get through the court system, which could take several months to get through. So again, not the intended result mom and dad were trying to achieve. So those can be problematic also.
Well, we've talked the last, you know, 10, 12 minutes about quite a few problems that have come up, you know, that can come up when a child is named and added to an account. You know, there seems like there's a lot of issues, a lot of problems, a lot of unintended consequences. Didn't realize what was going to happen. So, you know, knowing what people are trying to accomplish with adding people, adding their children, is there a better way of doing it? You know, what are the options?
Yeah, there's definitely a better way to do it. And I kind of go back to where we started. Why did the parent do this to begin with? And there's really two reasons why the parent did this. First, the parent it's usually the parent saying, I want my children to be able to pay my bills if I'm incapacitated and can't. Well, that can be accomplished by the parent signing a power of attorney, naming their child as their agent on a power of attorney. A power of attorney would allow the child, as the parent's agent, to access those accounts, pay bills, manage the accounts, manage money, change investments, do things like this if the parent became incapacitated. But this way, the account stays in the parent's name, and the child is just the parent's agent. The child never becomes the owner of the account. And all the problems we discussed all relate back to the child being the owner. If the child is never the owner of the account, the problems we've discussed on this call never come up, because all of these issues relate back to the child being the owner. Now the child has access to the account, can pay bills, do all the things the parents need them to do, but these problems don't arise. And then the second reason why a parent would name their child on an account is sometimes to avoid probate. We hear this all the time. Well, I don't want my estate to go through probate, so I name my child on the account. There are other ways to accomplish that. Most financial accounts, you can, whether it's a bank account, savings, money market, checking, whether it's a brokerage account, these accounts, almost always, these accounts allow you to name a beneficiary on the account. You don't have to name your child as the owner of the account to receive it upon your death. You name your child as the beneficiary of the account to receive the account upon your death. And then that, again, they never, this way they never become the owner, and the problems we've discussed on this call never come up.
That's great. Well, thanks, Jason. I hope this has been beneficial, a good discussion where you as a development officer can listen to your donors and hear these things and hear this red flag and help them and advise them that maybe that's not the best thing to do. It may be, but maybe there's some issues. Have you thought through some of these things and get them good advice and get them some counsel. And again, if you're a Thompson and Associates client, then get them in front of your associate to talk through these issues where they can make sure that their estate is planned well and it accomplishes what they need both during their life and after they pass away. So Jason, thank you for this. It's been very, very beneficial, very educating.
Thank you, Casey.